Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest, former state legislator and also now the chairman of Jefferson County Republican Party, Paul DeMarco, is on the line. Paul, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Doing well. Let's get into it. Start off with this. The strange timing of Friday with the Richard Shelby and that Associated Press story, kind of the worst-kept secret in Alabama politics that Richard Shelby was flirting with the idea of not running for re-election in 2022. But it is what it is, and it's kind of a lot of discussion picking up around the state. You know, that seems to be like that ultimately could be a very wide-open race.
I agree with you. Senate seats don't come open that often. Look at the race that we just had got filled. I mean, that whole saga from the time that Senator Sessions left with the Trump administration to the time that Tommy Tuberville got elected. I mean, who could have written that script? And so, but who could have written a lot of scripts? Robert Bentley resigning, Kay Ivey getting elected, everything that's happened to Doug Jones getting elected with the Roy Moore issues. So, look forward to the next 2 years, year and a half before the next Republican primary. When he officially, I know it's rumor, but I guess he officially comes out since he hadn't officially made that, that he's going to do that.
Yeah, and like the way this works, though, that he, you're already hearing the rumblings about campaigns looking around and staffing up. But if you're running a statewide race, especially for U.S. Senate seats, it's going to be very expensive. You probably start here real soon, you know, here to next, I would say next month or so, getting things together, because the way you win at Alabama, you really got to canvass the entire state.
You would think by, you know, maybe even no later than the 1st of June, if somebody's going to be in that race, they're going to be in that race because they got to start raising that money, particularly to be on television and all the TV markets up and down the I-65 corridor, and that's not cheap. And yep. Then you get into the rest of the state. So you would think everybody that's going to get in the race, they'd get in the race by the 1st of June, you know, about a year out from the primary, which is what surprised everybody when, you know, Jeff Sessions got in so late in that race. So most folks that are going to be serious about it are going to get in by the 1st of June, which will be about a year from the primary, Republican primary.
Yeah, and in Senator Sessions' case, what, the day before qualifying, kind of a, you know, like another one of those weird story lines like you were mentioning, who could have written that? Let's move to matters of a state a legislature. And you raise an important point. Right now, I mean, you served in that body, you served in that building, and right now it's not accessible to the general public. A guy like me and a member of the media could probably get in, but lobbyists and just people, sightseers or whatever you want to, civically minded individuals, you got to watch it on a live stream. And, you know, with all of these, they're kind of in this weird place where you didn't have a true legislative session in 2020. They want to make up for a lot of it this year, but you say we ought to be careful about that given there's not a lot of public access right now.
I really do. We know the primary purpose they've got to do, which is pass the budget, the general fund and education budget. You know, let's get that done. There are other issues that I think all of us are agreeable with, you know, not taxing the funds that folks received during the pandemic, and some of these other issues related to the pandemic. But what concerns me is some of these controversial issues that seem to be rushing through the legislature, some of these issues with the legalizing of the marijuana, of some bills that are going to weaken the criminal justice system. Some of these issues that are rushing through without the true public access you would expect and demand of our legislature. And I would hope that some of the state representatives and state senators put the brakes on some of this and say, wait a second, we've got really limited access to the state house from the public, and we have, whether people not being able to get in the building or just being able to watch it on video, which is not the same, or listening on audio. And I heard through one of the committees that they had technical difficulties. They couldn't even hear what was going on. And by the time they did, one of the bills had passed through. And that's just not right, especially when you talk about the transparency. Because some of these bills in the past, they just kind of ran through. I've seen it. I've been there when that's happened. People step out of the chamber and something passes. So, you know, that's a real concern. And I think they need to focus on what is important to the state and wait till either later in the session when there's more public access, or wait till next year when the public has full access and can go to the committee meeting and express their concerns about some of this legislation. And I'll say some of the lobbyists are getting in the building that may be for some of these bills, but the public needs to have full access before they pass some of these controversial bills.
But I tell you, Paul, here's the problem. A lot of these guys, especially these freshman members, they have nothing to really run on. And the biggest thing they did in the legislature this quadrennium so far, arguably you can make the case for the abortion ban, but I think the biggest thing is the Rebuild Alabama Act. And it's going to be hard for these guys to run on, hey, we raised your gas taxes, isn't that great? Look at this new road. Versus, hey, we passed a lottery. Hey, we passed medicinal marijuana. Hey, we passed this, we passed that. And I think that's where the problem lies, is you have some membership that really wants to accomplish something. So when they go and they run next year, and you know that fourth year of the quadrennium, there's not a whole lot that goes on because of reelection. That's why you're seeing this kind of weird urgency.
Well, I think the public would say that they'd rather come back and see it in a special session where there's public access than ram through bills without true public access. And I understand why the restrictions are there. And it's going on across the country, restrictions. And I don't blame the legislature. I think they're doing a pretty good job of trying to keep the members safe and the employees safe. So I don't blame them, and I commend them for doing that, trying to keep members safe and employees safe and folks who are in the building safe. But at the same time, passing legislation and getting it through committee and getting it to the board, passing it quickly without the public being able to really see what's going on is not what we expect, and it's not transparent. And then the legislature is rightly going back to the governor saying, hey, wait a second, what's the transparency in this prison leasing system? But at the same time, passing things through that there may not be transparency. So I think that's a concern that we all should have, and I hope lawmakers really say, wait a second, let's put the brakes on some of this stuff till we know the public has an understanding of what's really going on in this building.
And you served in that body, and you kind of understand how it works. Interesting to me, though, we haven't had that moment really yet where the you have a member or two or a caucus that steps out of line that works against leadership. I mean, everyone seems to, even the Democrats, seem to be singing out of the same hymnal. You talk about the prison issue, and what I don't understand, Chris England and other guys like that will, you know, go on social media and they'll criticize it, but where are any bills to push back on it? But the broader point there, everyone seems to be kind of going along to get along in that body, and I wonder if that's also a dangerous omen, or it's happened in the past where you have everybody all agreeing on something. That's when bad things can happen, and I guess it could be even worse without somebody or the public really having skin in the game.
Well, your point is well taken. It's just always say, the most dangerous day in the state is the last day of legislative session when folks are trying to ram things through at 2 in the morning and without the sunshine showing on it. And when you have members aren't questioning some of this legislation that's going through and saying, what are the effects of this? What are some of the long-term effects of what this legislation will have on the state? And it's a real concern. So, yes, not only the public not being able to see what's going on, but if you've got some members just unanimously passing things through because folks are saying, well, you got to do this. This is important. This is the only way to fix this. We'll say, well, wait a second. Let's dissect this. Look, that it is a concern for all of us out here.
And you mentioned something in our text here that this hasn't been on my radar, to be honest, or maybe it has, but just phrased differently. You mentioned a weakening of the criminal code. Are you concerned they're going to try to do something with this prison plan that's going to, under the guise of judicial reform or prison reform with sentencing, and really kind of change the way we handle our criminal justice in Alabama?
Absolutely. So the prison system, the chronic problems with the prisons need to be handled, no question about it. But that's not the responsibility of when it comes to sentencing. You've got to look at the victim and say, if this person committed the crime, they need to be penalized. You can't worry about if the prisons are overcrowded when it comes to sentencing somebody. You need to deliver justice. That's not the responsibility of the district attorney, not the responsibility of law enforcement. They're there if someone is found guilty of making sure there's a penalty for the crime. So for the legislature to start reducing penalties and saying, oh, these people don't need to go to jail or so forth like this, that's not doing right for the citizens of Alabama. How many bills right now before the legislature are putting the victims first and law enforcement are giving tools to prosecutors to go after the bad guys? Look what's going around in Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, these no bail laws and not even allowing the district attorneys to go to parole hearings. Don't think these things can't happen here in Alabama. I hope your listeners know these kind of things are being discussed in Montgomery, and there are bills that are making it harder to prosecute, that there's going to be less sentencing going on for felonies and so forth. So don't think that all of a sudden red state conservative Alabama is not having some of the same issues being discussed. And we see the soaring crime rates in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles. That can't happen here in Alabama. They need to pay attention to what's going on in Montgomery. And that's what really worries me, the lack of public access that's going on at the State House.
It does seem like that crowd or that movement or whatever you call it, those advocates are starting to make some gains in the direction of weakening or whatever you want to call it, a criminal justice reform, quote unquote. I guess it kind of goes back to, you know, they had to shake up with the Board of Pardons and Paroles, but a lot of this, it just seems you have a bureaucracy. And you have some people at the top that are fine public servants, like I'll say Cam Ward, the former state senator from your area. But you have people in the bureaucracy that are just ideologically opposed to a really strict criminal justice system. I think maybe that's where some of the problem lies.
Well, I can promise you the ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center and some of these other groups are at the State House every day trying to figure out how they can change our criminal justice system. Now, that's not, they don't have the same goals and what we think as a criminal justice system as the rest of us out there, victim rights groups, district attorneys, law enforcement. So that is my concern, I hope state representatives and state senators are doing what I did when I was there. They're going back and talking to their police chiefs and their local line police officers who are on the front line every day about what's going on when some people are getting in and there's just a revolving door, people getting arrested and they're getting right back on the street and committing crime. That's happening here in Alabama, and they need to pay attention to what's going on in the State House. Well, some of that's being changed during this current legislative session.
And last, Paul, before we have to let you go, medical marijuana, and I don't know where you stand on this, but you mentioned that as something kind of interesting, that it seems to be like the year. I could go either way on it personally, but yeah, these guys, Mike Ball, Tim Melson, probably a lot of our listeners just swear up and down that this is a humane thing to do. But then on the other hand, you have a bunch of people say, oh, this is the gateway. This is Colorado, Washington State. This is the path to recreational marijuana, whether you like it or not. Well, what do you think about this?
Well, a couple of things. This was one of the bills that kind of sailed through the committee. And in the middle of a pandemic, we've got people lost jobs, small businesses that are struggling, the whole vaccine rollout, all the concerns. You know, why is that a priority? Why is that priority moving through? In addition, are they hearing from individuals? I can tell you right now, you do look at what's going on in the state, the amount of money that's pouring in. The special interests, the lobbyists are at the State House making sure that the degrees the wills for that legislation. What about the other folks who have concerns with that legislation? I can tell you that commission, it was stacked. People that are on that committee told me it was stacked to say, oh, we need to move forward with this. There's a lot of concerns with that, and I hope that there's a legitimate debate from all sides about what happens with that bill and the concerns with legalizing marijuana. And we all know it's just one step towards the legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. And don't let anybody tell you that's not. There's just too much. It's about money. And anybody that says it's not about money is not being honest with you. And you can look at how much money is being made around the country when it comes to legalizing marijuana.
Is it just these companies coming in? And I know in Florida, you have they took an old oil change, old Express oil change, and turned it into a marijuana dispensary for medical marijuana. You say that profit incentive, you think, is really the engine driving this?
Absolutely, and you look at it, what happened in some of these other states where the marijuana dispensaries stepping up one stop after another. And if they really were concerned about the people, look at all the different folks that can get it. But the list that they say everybody that can get it. I mean, basically, it is legalizing marijuana when you said you can get it for this reason or whatever. So it's a real concern on what it happens. I've seen it from the business perspective when folks say, well, if you're making this right, and this has been litigated in other courts. If you say it's legal, then I can get it. And you can't, if I fail a drug test, you can't give me a drug test because it's a medical use. And so when it comes to workers' comp injuries and issues like that, it's a real problem. And it's going to be a real problem for employers out there, just as it has been in other states.
Paul, we got to leave it there, but we always appreciate it. We'll do it again real soon.
Thank you. Always glad to be with you, Jeff.
Thanks. Paul DeMarco, former state legislator and chairman of the Jefferson County Republican Party.